Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. As usual, this khutbah will be translated roughly to English. So if you can stick around so you can be familiar with what was said, it would be much appreciated. Basically, in the introduction of the khutbah, I mentioned that we're going through some historical moments. We're living history right now, just before our eyes. Primarily because the attack of against the Prophet ﷺ, which has begun ages ago, during his lifetime, ﷺ, he was called a poet, he was called a madman, he was called crazy, he was called a magician, he was called a soothsayer, and all kinds of titles they gave him. Even though they used to call him before As-Sadiq al-Amin, they knew who he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is not something new. Attacking the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is nothing new. In fact, the reason why it happens is because these people have a problem with Allah. And when you have a problem with Allah, you will have a problem with those whom Allah has chosen. If they were on good terms with Allah, it's impossible to hate someone whom Allah chose if you yourself love Allah. So the core of the matter is disbelief. Disbelief will lead people to do the most obnoxious, heinous, unacceptable acts. Your mind can be puzzled. Nowadays, if someone called a person from a particular skin color, a particular word, he is considered to be racist. And it is not allowed to offend someone because of his skin color. Say he's racist. And that is the freedom of speech there stops. You can't call him by this name. No freedom of speech. This is according to their own standards. But if you were to offend a whole religion with its adherents and a person whom they venerate, who is the messenger of Allah, now freedom of speech kicks in. So it's freedom of speech is like a switch. They turn it on when they want, they turn it off when they want. And we're supposed to be stupid enough to believe that. This is because of disbelief. Disbelief leads people to obnoxious behavior. So from among all the people in the world, they chose the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to make fun of and to criticize and to mock. However, Allah has already told us in the Quran, when He told the Prophet ﷺ, verily, the one who hates you is the one who will be cut off. So in spite of their efforts to extinguish the light of Islam and the Muslims, they will fail because of three reasons. This legislation which Allah gave the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has three distinct qualities that no Sharia of any other messenger before him had. The first of which is al-baqa, which is permanence, continuity, the quality of remaining and not going away. They cannot remove it from the face of this earth. Allah said in the Quran, as you all know the ayah, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was not the messenger of any, was not the father of any of your men. Rather, he is the messenger of Allah and the last and the seal of all prophets. And so then his message must remain behind because no one will come afterwards. Further, he said in hadith sahih alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever Allah intends goodness for, he will give him understanding of this deen. And verily, I am only a distributor and it is Allah who grants. إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. I don't give you, Allah gives you. I'm only the means of delivery. And a group of my ummah, this ummah will remain evident. It will remain in your face. It will remain available until the command of Allah comes. They will not be harmed by those who oppose them. So he told us, alayhi salam, that irrespective of the efforts to put out Islam and the Muslims, it's never going to happen. It will remain until Yawm al-Qiyam. Second quality is umum, comprehensiveness. It encompasses everybody, human and jinn, believers and disbelievers. The da'wah should go to everyone. And so the scholars divide the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ into two. The ummah of invitation, those whom he is expected to invite, and it's our job now. Huh? And the ummah of ijabah, the ummah of response, those who responded to him, us, alhamdulillah. And we have to put a few red lines under this particular point here. That we in this masjid, as some Muslims, we have been blessed by Allah to be among those who responded to the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ and not disbelieved in it, like many other millions of people around the world. This is a favor of Allah upon us, which requires gratitude and thankfulness. So it is comprehensive, jinn and ins, believers and disbelievers. Lastly, it is the kamal, the quality of kamal. Kamal is perfection and completeness. It is perfect, and perfect in English and in Arabic means perfect. When you say the amount of water in this cup is perfect, meaning it's right at the rim of the cup or the glass, which means if you were to remove a drop of water, it will no longer be exactly at the rim, so it's imperfect. And if you were to add some water, it will flow out of the cup, it's imperfect. Perfect is exactly where the thing is supposed to be. And this religion of ours is perfect, meaning there's no room for anyone to add anything or delete anything. But of course today we have many people who will, you know, they give, mashallah, they're very generous. You want a bid'ah, no problem, just give me 3 seconds. I'll go think about one in the back and come and give it to you on a golden platter. Ya akhi, nahna, we have plenty, barakallah fika. We have enough from the sunnah, what are you innovating? If you look at the affair of the Muslims, don't go far, just in the masjid. From the time a person enters the masjid until the time he leaves the masjid, you find bid'ah. We are practicing innovation from the time we enter until we leave. And the majority think this is a sunnah. Because they saw their fathers do it, and the fathers saw their fathers do it, and it's this kind of heritage which we got from I don't know where. If you were to go back to the books of the sunnah, you will not find it there. You will not find it there. So you have people between adhan and iqamah, huh? Or before the iqamah, before the takbir, says a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, Allahu akbar. The ta'awudh is upon takbir. Once you say Allahu akbar, not even dua al-istiftah. Dua al-istiftah, then the ta'awudh, then the basmala, then the fatiha. There's no ta'awudh in the beginning of the salah before the takbir. Of course, he will give you another fatwa. Say, brother, the shaitan, doesn't the shaitan come to me at this time? And so I'm seeking refuge with Allah from him to protect me so I can concentrate in the takbir. Then you say to this person, oh, so you are better than the Messenger of Allah. Because he didn't do that. And he didn't say that. And he didn't teach that. So did you manage to understand something that he and the Sahaba failed to understand? That's amazing, man. Or someone else will say, before they say, Allahumma ahsin wukufana bayna yadayk, wa la tukhzina yawm al-ardi alayk, and they bring this whole dua which is homemade. Homemade. Allah knows who made it. Not the Prophet alayhi sallam. Of course you look shocked, say, what? But akhi, everyone does it. Everyone doesn't mean anything. Everyone drinks water. Some people like juice. What everyone does doesn't make a difference. Is it from the sunnah? We say to this person, no problem. Bring me the evidence from the sunnah. Wallah, tomorrow I will do it next to you. We will do it together, ya Shaykh. But show me the dalil. No dalil. No dalil. And the list goes on. After the salah, you know, the dua and jama'ah. Huh? The imam turns around, raises the hand, and everybody, Allahumma aghfir lana wa arhamna wa taqabbal minna. Everybody says, ameen, ameen, ameen. And then they get up and leave. How many times did the Prophet ﷺ lead the people in salah? Thousands of times. We challenge anyone to bring one evidence. Let it be da'if. Let it be da'if. One da'if hadith that he ever made dua in congregation after any salah. And the result is none. Trust me. Scholars have asked other scholars to bring the proof, and they were not able to bring any proof. Only rationale. Dua is good. You're going to tell me don't make dua, ya akhi? Dua is good. More dua, better. So, wallah. Wallah. طيب, I'll ask you a question. Is the salah on the Nabi good or not? Durood, is it good or not? Fatiha, is it good or not? طيب, I challenge you to do in the Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Malik yawm al-Din. Why don't you do it, ya akhi? It's durood. And durood is good. And Fatiha is good. You see, the timing of yours doesn't work, ya akhi. You're trying to add an ibadah which the Prophet ﷺ did not do in this fashion. So don't let the shaitan deceive you that it's good. Well, of course, reading the Quran is good, but not when someone dies. You bring everybody around and you read juz, we do khatma and we send it to fulan who passed away. يعني the sahaba, all of them failed to know the sunnah. All of them did not care about the others who died at their time, so they didn't do this jama'ah, this coming together khatma. They failed. We, mashallah, we figured it out. And I can go on here for days, by the way, enumerating bid'ah which we practice on daily basis. And some of you may go like, because you've never thought it was a bid'ah. But it is. So it's perfect. Don't add anything. Let it be enough for us what was enough for them. This is the point here of the critical point in how to define a Muslim. Forget about the name, titles, and the groups. He's from this jama'ah, and he's from that jama'ah, and he's from... Forget about that. Let's deal with the practice. The difference between a Muslim who's upon the Sunnah and a Muslim who's not on the Sunnah, regardless of what he calls himself and what jama'ah he belongs to, is whether he follows Islam as per the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and the way the Sahaba understood it, or he does not. End of discussion. If one of us finds himself, when he wants to do something, he questions, did the Sahaba understand this from this general hadith, so they did it this way, so he does it. And if he doesn't find any reference that they did it, he leaves it alone. This is someone who's upon the way of the Prophet ﷺ. And he is the one whom the Prophet said ﷺ about them, طُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Give the good news for the strangers. Give the glad tidings for the strangers. He is the one who will get all these privileges. He is the one whom we said about in the hadith where the ummah will divide into 73 sects, that there's one sect, which will be freed from Jahannam. When he was asked, who are they? He said, whoever is upon what I am today and my Sahaba, my companions. Clear. So we turn away from the Sunan, and instead we riot in the streets. Huh? We're upset. So put on some bandana, huh, to look cool. And some nice shirt and muscle, and go in the streets and stand in front of the embassies and throw some stones and kill people and burn private property. Wallah, this is how I love the Prophet ﷺ. And if you look at him, you will have to ask him 15 times, are you sure you're a Muslim? No way, I'm sorry. Are you're a Muslim, you said? Nothing in him suggests anything about Islam. And you know what I'm saying? Nothing. Now his love was, came from its, it was awakened from its deep sleep, so he can go and cause havoc in the streets and kill innocent people and make us Muslims look bad. Not that we care, but it affects the da'wah. I mean, entering Jannah or not is not based on how the kuffar feel about us, but fulfilling the responsibility of inviting them to Islam has to do with the way we behave. So we're doing a disservice to Islam in the name of defending the Prophet ﷺ, which is not acceptable. He was called these names during his time. The Sahaba didn't go around the Kaaba rioting and killing people. They didn't do this. They did not do this. They were people of deen, not emotions. They did not let their emotions in this regard overtake them. They were referring back to the deen. Not saying that they had no emotion. The ulama say, once you follow the sunnah, then you can build your emotion about the sunnah. But don't have an emotion which conflicts with the sunnah. So, the real solution is not what is happening today in regards to this movie which they made against the Prophet ﷺ. The real solution is that we begin with ourselves to evaluate our concept or conception of the shahada, which we say in every salah, and every adhan, and every iqamah. Huh? Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah alayhi sallam. We bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. What does it mean? What does it mean? The scholars have categorized it into very simplified information. Number one, believing him in regards to what he said. You believe him. And I gave an example that a fitna which is happening in the Arabic world, in the Arab world, and it's also in English, in Urdu, in all these languages. like the Dajjal. You all believe in the Dajjal? Everyone here believes in the Dajjal? You sure? Because we have some funny people who don't. And they're giving a mimbar like this one, and they're giving an audience and video cameras and all this, you know, five-star kind of treatment, so he can tell the people, I read the whole Quran, I didn't see anything about the Dajjal, so there's no Dajjal. It's all this people's imagination, fabricated hadith. In Bukhari, fabricated hadith. In Muslim, fabricated hadith. In Tirmidhi, all of them are fabricated. Everybody just came together and invented this issue of Dajjal just to scare us. This is not someone who believes in what the Prophet ﷺ said. In the English world, we have another kind of person who will tell you, no, no, yeah, we believe the hadith, but the hadith doesn't mean that. Every single hadith, he will give you some symbolic interpretation, some deeper meaning which you, a regular person, you fail to understand. Only he, mashallah, tabarakallah, Allah gave him this inspiration. Mawlana Imran Hussein. Only he, mashallah, is this. He's living in his own world. He's the one who understood everything. This hadith means this, and that hadith means that, and this one doesn't mean this. Everything he twists. So the Dajjal became airplanes, and Dajjal became money, and Dajjal became the weather control, and Dajjal became all these things. Ya akhil aziz, the Prophet was speaking Arabic to Arab people. And he told them he's a man. The Dajjal is a man. He doesn't take on different forms. Don't twist the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Many Muslims today follow this particular individual and others, where they fall into the area of not believing what he said ﷺ. But we as believers say, no, no, we don't play this game. We listen, and just as the hadith mentions, we take it as its face value. The second thing is obeying him in regards to what he commanded. Obeying him in regards to what he commanded. What he commanded could either be recommended or it could be obligatory, compulsory. Let's set aside the recommended. Tayyib, let me just turn this off. It's making too much noise. Let's leave alone the recommended. You say, anta, you would like to just stick to the minimum obligation. You don't want to add any optional prayer, any optional thing. Ma fi mushkila, we'll leave you alone. Leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Let us just focus on the obligations. In regards to the obligations, how many of them do we actually fulfill in our lives as an ummah? Most of the sunnah is lost. Most of the commands are not applied. And among those who are practicing, those who are not practicing, the whole thing to them is the same. It's like a big, you know, Chinese meal. Everything is mixed up with everything. But for those who follow the sunnah, even among us, those who follow the sunnah, still, we're doing maybe 40%, 30%, 60% of the sunnah, Allah knows what it is. We don't even know what it is. Or we know, but we don't act. Speaking of myself at least. So what happened to the command of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam? We're not fulfilling it. We're not following him, even though Allah said that loving him, loving Allah, which entails loving the Prophet ﷺ, is all conditional to following him, which means obeying him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So look at the attitude of Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, you are more beloved to me than everything in this world except myself. That's normal. It's normal that you love yourself more than everybody else. It's human nature. The Prophet ﷺ disapproved of this statement. He said, no, not until you love me more than you love yourself. Umar radiallahu anhu, al-Faruq, the criterion, was one who had iman and yaqeen. And we all know that he didn't play games. You all know Umar. Just read the seerah. He walk around with a stick. You get offline, he'll put you in your place. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He reprimanded himself and he thought it over. That the Messenger of Allah is telling me, I will not truly believe until I love him more. Then how do I call myself a believer if I don't love him more? So he automatically changed his position as means of obedience to the Messenger of Allah. Even though one of us will say, give me a few weeks, let me think this over. How am I going to reach a level where I love you more than I love myself? Instantly he changed. And then the Prophet ﷺ approved and said, now, now Umar, now you're on the right track. So by Allah, do we love the Messenger of Allah ﷺ more than ourselves? Everybody will say yes. And the truth is, no. If he told us something and we can't do it, then you won't take a bullet for him. If the simplest of things are being told and we don't act upon them, then how would we put our lives at stake? If we cannot give up 1% of our desires for the sake of obeying the Messenger of Allah, how are we going to give up our whole life to protect his? One will think now he will be able to do it. This is just like the disobedient person who thinks when he dies he will say La ilaha illallah. And then when he is at the moment of death, on the deathbed, and the people say Qul La ilaha illallah, he starts singing. He says, do you have a cigarette? Huh? Especially the smokers. They want to give farewell to this life with a final puff. Burn it up here so they can continue burning on there. Not just a cigarette before you pass out. That's what it is. You won't be able to say this La ilaha illallah. Why? Because Allah told us, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. This issue of thabat, being able to be firm and say the right word, is given by Allah only. To who? To those who believe. In this dunya and in the akhirah, and Allah will deliberately mislead the oppressors. And Allah does what He wills. Just in case someone wanted to complain, وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Because He already told us, this is halal and this is haram. This is the sunnah, this is the bid'ah. Do the sunnah, leave the bid'ah. If we insist, then Allah will lead us astray and He does what He wills. No one can complain and say, but. So we don't really love, not really love. Now we have some feelings. But it is not the love which is the love of Iman, the one expected of us. Thirdly, abandoning what he forbade, which means the haram. And in this regard, we have many scary ayat. Not one, many. One of them is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, let those who oppose the Messenger beware, that they may be afflicted with a trial, or they may be afflicted with a severe punishment for disobeying him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Or the statement of Allah, it is not for a believing man or a believing woman, after Allah and His Messenger decide upon a matter, that they should have a choice in this regard. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has went far astray. Then Allah said in the third ayah, nay, by your Lord they will not believe. Until we do three things. We will not really be Muslims and believers in the ultimate sense until we do three things. When we dispute, we refer to the Sunnah, not to Mawlana. Not to some local judge who is relative of ours and he can work it out. Or even worse, some ladies, they fight with their husbands, then they want to go to a Western court so she can take half of the house and half of the kids and half of the food and half of the fridge and everything. Now because the Western government will give this woman some rights which she did not find in Islam. They don't refer back to the Sunnah because the Sunnah may not be in agreement with their desires. And these people are, you know, shopping. They like shopping. They only get what they like. So first we have to refer to the Sunnah. Then after the Sunnah has been explained, we should not find within ourselves any discomfort. Yani when someone brings a sunnah to you, you don't find this kind of feeling. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, then they submit in full submission. To summarize this, it's like someone was practicing a bid'ah. And you come to him and say, Ya Akhil Aziz, Barakallah Fik, this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. However, the sunnah is such and such. And then this person, when you tell him this, his heart opens up. And his face brightens. And he says, Alhamdulillah, Wallahi, ya akhi, I did not know. Jazakallahu khairan. And immediately he starts practicing the sunnah. Alaykum salam. He immediately starts practicing the sunnah. How many have you ever seen this in your life? Maybe never. What you see, however, is that, brother, this is not the sunnah. How old are you? I'm 33. I got people who are 60 years old telling me something. You're going to come and tell me, Akhi, we're dealing with the Dalil. I bring you evidence. You bring evidence, inshallah, the evidence comes for a 5-year-old. If he gives you an evidence, you have to accept it. Huh? Who are you? What are your qualifications, number one? Huh? How old are you? Which jama'ah do you belong to? Maybe you're trying to lead me astray. And he will give you 500 billion reasons why he doesn't have to listen to you. the shaitan will justify it because you're not qualified enough, or you're not old enough, or you're not good enough, or you're not whatever enough. He will put many reasons, okay, now I can continue with my bid'ah, abandon the sunnah because, you know, it didn't come to me from the right source. And according to this ayah, this person is not a true believer. Because we learn from our righteous predecessors that they will learn from the younger. They will learn from the youngest person. If he says something which is true, they will accept it and act by it. They were not arrogant and prideful people, as we are today. Not undermining the age and the importance of age and taking knowledge from the senior scholars. No doubt in that. We're not saying that we don't look at everybody the same. People are to be treated according to their age and their status and so on and so forth. But if they bring in the truth, it becomes irrelevant where they belong in this category. You have to take the truth. Lastly, which is praising him, respecting him, and venerating him, alayhi salatu wasalam. But then we have to add many conditions now, according to the sunnah. Because we have people that want to venerate the Prophet alayhi salam so much that they made him equal to Allah or even better than Allah, just like the Christians did with Jesus. You know the qasida? Al-Burda. Is that what it's called? You know this qasida? Famous qasida in the praise of the Messenger of Allah. Where this mu'allif, this famous intelligent author, said about the Prophet ﷺ, وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ الْقَلَمِ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. Listen to this now. Part of your knowledge, O Messenger of Allah, just part of it, not all of it, part of it is the knowledge of the pen and the preserved tablet. Look, the preserved tablet has everything which Allah had decreed from before until the end, which no one knows but Allah. And the qalam wrote what Allah commanded, which no one knows but Allah. This person says to the Messenger of Allah, part of your knowledge is this knowledge. Yani you even know more than that. Which is kufr, just for the record. But he may be excused, his affair is with Allah. We're not declaring kufr on the author. We're saying this is a statement of kufr. None of the Sahaba would dare to even utter a statement of this magnitude. Same goes for saying the Prophet is hadir and nadir. He's here and he's watching. Ya Shaykh. Ya Shaykh, this is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the one who sees and hears, As-Sami'ul Alim, not the Messenger of Allah. He is the Nur of the Arsh, He is the Nur of Allah. All these statements are made up. These are grave, blasphemous statements. If they were said at the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, or Imam Malik, or Imam Shafi, or Imam Ahmad, this person would be lashed 500 lashes and put in prison and maybe executed. No one would dare to say this back then. But when time goes by and ignorance spreads and we start following the ways of the Jews and the Christians, you will follow their ways. Until now, these statements became ordinary. And if you are to say anything against them, Wahhabi. From the beginning I knew you were Wahhabi. You're paid by the government. Agent of the government. Every day they go, they give me a fat paycheck. I go to the masajid and tell them that what they know is not correct. Tell them about Tawheed. Oh, Wahhabi. People are foolish. Foolish. Everything that people tell them, they believe them. What Wahhabi? What Tashashi? We're telling you the book and the sunnah. Refer the matters to the book and the sunnah. Stop categorizing people according to this nonsense. There's no government paying people to go brainwash you. We tell you, bring the evidence that the Messenger of Allah is the Nur of the Arsh, or the Nur of Allah. Or bring the evidence that he is hadir another. Or bring the evidence, you will find no authentic evidence whatsoever. Except that Mawlana said, and if Mawlana said, then Mawlana cannot go wrong. Come on, he's Mawlana. Wallah, Mawlana makes a mistake. If Umar radiallahu anhu made a mistake, and Abu Bakr made a mistake, and Uthman made a mistake, you're going to tell me someone afterwards is not going to make a mistake? So these are red lines. I'm being a little emotional. Because it's sad. This is what I mean. We get this all the time. We're being brainwashed without knowing. And the Prophet ﷺ is being attacked and we don't know how to retaliate except in the worst way. Whereas the true way is to return to the sunnah. Take some time to learn this deen. Give it its due right. Learn it. It's clear cut. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. I left you upon a plain white religion, plain, clear. It's night, it's like it's day. You don't get confused. The only one who will deviate is one who's destroyed. There's no philosophy, no too much girgir in the issues. Issues are clear. But we have to give him the time to learn them. So as much as we love him alayhi salam, and we venerate him and we send salat and salam upon him and we do all these things, we never ever raise him above the status which Allah gave him. At the end of the day, he is the messenger of Allah and his slave. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. This is the fine line. Say, verily, I'm a human being like you. They say the Prophet has no shadow. He has no shadow. Why does he not have a shadow? He doesn't have a shadow. But he's a human being. Don't you have a shadow? You have a shadow. He has a shadow. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. But what is that point of distinction? يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. I receive revelation. So now he's given this status because of the revelation. Excuse me. So ikhwan, in summary, what we should do now, so that if we were to stand before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah and He asked us, what did you do in regards to this attack upon my messenger? When the people attack my messenger, what did you do? We can at least say, oh Allah, I used to be careless about the sunnah and I started practicing from that day onwards. I revived the sunnah in my life, in the life of my wife, and the kids, and the neighbors, and everything. I did my best to live for the sunnah. Perhaps Allah will accept that, because we don't have the means to do anything else. But to say, well, I didn't do anything, or I burned the car, or I went on the YouTube and I cursed the people with some foul language, you know, which is what most people do, just use bad language to curse the kuffar and khalas. That's not something significant, nor is it something which will bring salvation. So this Allah made this event, which is evil, bring a lot of goodness. It's making the people remember who the Messenger of Allah is, speak about him alayhi salam, address the people about this, so it's reviving him in our lives. It's an opportunity from Allah. We would be major losers if we let this one go by. Now each one of us knows where he has his issues and shortcomings. Let us follow them. It's not a big deal, not rocket science. Simple instructions. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us among those who are able to follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. Jazakum Allah khair for your patience and for sticking around to hear the khutbah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Make sure you go to www.onewaytoparadise.net. One way to paradise. Only letters, no digits, no space, no colons. One way to paradise. Don't put Jannah. Paradise equals Jannah, but the title is One Way to Paradise.net. And the YouTube channel is youtube.com/One Way to Paradise. And the Facebook, if you use it, is One Way to Paradise. There are many lectures like this, and Friday sermons in English, and translations, and classes, and everything you need in English, inshallah, in regards to the deen. Jazakumullah khair. هذه هذه حبيبي جزاك الله خير شوي ايه الحمد لله عليكم السلام اهلين بارك الله فيك حبيبي جزاك الله خير اهلين حياك الله مرحبا عليكم السلام عليكم السلام بارك الله فيك sorry let me just turn this off